The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. More microscopic brain damage seen in SPMS than in RRMS. People with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis, or SPMS, have more microscopic damage in normal-appearing brain tissue than do patients with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, or RRMS, according to a new imaging study. These patients also have a greater number of chronic active lesions than those with RRMS. Using advanced diffusion MRI and image texture analysis methods, we found significant differences between RRMS and SPMS subjects across a wide range of measures of brain microstructure, the researchers wrote. The study, Advanced Diffusion MRI and Image Texture Analysis, detect widespread brain structural differences between relapsing remitting and secondary progressive multiple sclerosis, was published in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience. Most people with multiple sclerosis are initially diagnosed with RRMS, which is characterized by periods of sudden attacks of worsening symptoms or relapses, interspersed with periods where symptoms ease or disappear, remissions. SPMS is a stage of disease that can develop after RRMS and is characterized by the gradual worsening of symptoms over time, regardless of relapse activity. Neurological symptoms in RRMS are thought to be driven more by active inflammation, whereas SPMS progression is driven more by the gradual dysfunction and death of neurons. However, biological mechanisms underlying the transition from RRMS to SPMS and the consequent differences in patterns of brain damage remain poorly understood. A team of researchers at the University of Calgary conducted an analysis of advanced MRI data to learn more. Using two previously acquired databases, the scientists assessed brain imaging data from 20 people with RRMS and 9 with SPMS. The average age was 40.7 years for RRMS patients and 58.2 years for those with SPMS. As expected, because SPMS is a more advanced disease stage, these patients generally had a longer disease duration and more substantial disability. All of the patients had lesions in white matter, the part of the brain tissue that contains nerve fibers connecting different brain regions, with 1 to 111 individual lesions identified in each patient's brain. The average number of lesions was significantly lower in patients with RRMS than those with SPMS, 29.5 versus 48.6 lesions. SPMS patients found to have more smoldering lesions. Results showed that SPMS patients also had significantly more smoldering lesions, showing signs of chronic inflammation, which were determined using a novel approach. In addition to comparing lesions, which represent substantial, clearly visible damage to the white matter, the researchers also conducted texture analyses. Simplistically, these are mathematical assessments that looked at differences among individual points, or voxels, in the image of the brain acquired by MRI. The general goal of texture analysis is to identify microscopic damage to nerve fibers that is not substantial enough to be visible as a lesion, but may still interfere with normal neuronal signaling. Across nearly all of the mathematical measures assessed as part of the texture analysis, the SPMS patient showed more signs of microscopic damage in normal-appearing white matter, or NAWM, than those with RRMS. This microscopic damage was observed in the whole brain, as well as in specific nerve fiber tracts known to affect patient function. The SPMS individuals show greater NAWM damage across nearly all diffusion and phase congruency-based texture measures of the whole brain, the researchers wrote. Our findings indicate that there is increased tissue damage in the NAWM of SPMS at both micro and macroscopic levels, they concluded. The team noted that this analysis was limited by the small number of patients. Still, the researchers said the results may provide a useful foundation for future studies of disease progression in MS, as represented by joint analysis of different scales of tissue pathology. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on September 1, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. The MS Wire, a column by Ed Tobias, published on September 19, 2022. MS news that caught my eye last week. EBV, stem cell transplant, neuron, progression without relapse. T-cells targeting Epstein-Barr virus at high levels in MS patients. The evidence of a link between the Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, and multiple sclerosis continues to mount. The current thinking is that the immune responses that fight EBV may drive the attacks against the myelin nerve coating, which is characteristic of MS. Interestingly, these researchers report that people with MS being treated with Tysabri, natalizumab, which traps T-cells in the lymph nodes, had particularly strong T-cell behavior against EBV, but not other viruses. People with multiple sclerosis have significantly more T-cells equipped with receptors that specifically recognize the Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, than do healthy individuals, a study revealed. Notably, no such differences were detected for T-cells with receptors, specifically against other viruses. Stem cell transplant for MS eases fatigue, improves life quality. This is a very small study, but it adds to the growing mountain of evidence that stem cell transplants, or AHSCT, can be useful for people with MS. There is no doubt in my mind, based on the interactions I've had with people with MS, that many would like to see this treatment more readily available. It isn't approved for MS in the U.S., except experimentally. It's hard to get in the U.K., and it's very expensive in private clinics in Mexico and Russia. As I've said in the past, let's get moving on this. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society supports ASHCT for patients with very aggressive relapsing remitting MS who have responded poorly to other disease-modifying therapies. Autologous hematopoietic stem cell transplant, AHSCT, commonly called stem cell therapy, lessens fatigue and improves quality of life in people with highly active relapsing multiple sclerosis, according to a small study in Lithuania. These gains in the physical and social domains of quality of life were linked to a reduction in disability levels for up to 2 years after transplant in this study. That suggests that clinical improvements from AHSCT may drive boosts in life quality for MS patients. Neuron found safe shows promise in phase 2 trial for progressive MS. This experimental treatment removes mesenchymal stem cells, or MSC, from the bone marrow of someone with MS. Those cells are then expanded and matured into cells that produce high levels of molecules that promote nerve cell growth and survival, called neurotrophic factors, or NTFs. The MSC NTFs are then injected into the patient's spinal canal. Researchers hope the procedure will repair myelin, reduce the likelihood of further nerve cell damage, reduce neuroinflammation, and potentially slow MS progression. It sounds almost too good to be true, but let's hope it is true. Neuron, a stem cell therapy being developed by Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics, showed a good safety profile among people with progressive forms of multiple sclerosis in an open-label phase 2 clinical trial, according to new data. The data show the experimental therapy also was associated with promising effects on patients' walking ability, finger dexterity, cognition, and vision. Progression without relapse, also common in RRMS, patients say. There's no doubt in my mind that MS can progress without relapses. That's been my position for many years. The real problem, as these researchers indicate, may be the fact that MS is classified by stages, and a move from one stage to another isn't spotted quickly. So you may continue to be diagnosed with relapsing MS while you're actually progressing. That's how it's been with me. Does it matter whether my MS is called relapsing or progressing? Not to me, but it may to my insurance company. Nearly two-thirds of people with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, or RRMS, report disease progression independent of relapses, according to a survey involving more than 4,500 multiple sclerosis patients in Germany. This finding supports evidence pointing to progression independent of relapse activity, PIRA, as an underestimated contributing factor in RRMS, and it suggests that some of these patients may have transitioned to secondary progressive MS, or SPMS, but hadn't been yet diagnosed, the researchers noted. To read more columns by Ed Tobias and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel and never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.